Are you ready? All right, let's start. First thing that has to be said is don't panic. And don't feel bad if you can't keep up with everything, because we're going to be going very fast and we're going to be doing explanations at the same time that we're doing technical activity. And that's a bad combination, but I don't know how else to do it. I'm one of those people that has to explain everything. I'm the kind of person that Jules Pfeiffer used to make cartoons about. In fact, he even wrote a book of cartoons called The Explainers. All right, this is when our class started last week. Wednesday, the 21st of September, 2005, at 7:32 p.m. in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, what we're going to do is cast a horoscope for that time. And a horoscope is a two-dimensional map of what the heavens look like from a given time and a given place. That's what a horoscope is. It's just like looking in the heavens. The way it is set up, it's like you're looking straight south. And if you want a very rough graphical idea, it's as if we drew a circle on the ground and divided into 12 pieces. And let's pass these out. This is going to be everything you need. You won't need any books, but I will pass some books out if you want to look at them. I'll even give them to you if you want them. So the horoscope is a circle that is sort of like drawing a circle on the ground, and the vertical is facing south. And then you just break it into 12 pieces, and then you take the cusps of those 12 pieces and make them look like orange sections. And where they strike the path of the stars, which is called the ecliptic, you write those places down. And those places are the cusps of the houses in the signs of the zodiac. All right, that's really simple. Yeah, south is south. All right. Now you in this, I gave you have calculate the first things that you have in the pad of things that I gave to you are calculation sheets. I gave two. One you can use as we go along, and the other you can use for duplicating if you want to do more of this. Normally, they're front side and back side. This is the back side, where most of the calculation work is done. And with the wheel on is the front side. Also in the pack are a number of helpful little things. This is probably essential. This is what you want to keep with you for the whole rest of the year. This is all of the symbols that you're going to use and roughly what they mean. My goodness, I should have washed this thing off. The signs of the zodiac, the planets, the aspects. There's another one that has a miscellany, and that's just to show you what longitude and latitude is in a very brief description of the 12 houses. Now, for the calculation that we're going to do, there are several pages of describing the mathematically what we're going to do. You don't have to read them tonight. You can just take them home and read them as you like. Excuse me? Yes, they're included at the back. All right. Now, there's what we have to do. Well, these are, all right, I'll get to that in a second. what we have to do in order to find out where those house costs go, we have to deal with several kinds of time. The first type of time we have to deal with is solar time. And solar time is the length of a day. Now, if you are without civilization, you just take the day and you divide it into 12 parts, and you take the night and divide it into 12 parts. But our civilization, because of things like having to get to work on time and things like that, we can't have time that changes, so that in the summertime the days are longer and in the wintertime the days are shorter, and vice versa for the nights. So we have to have an average time. And the mathematical word for average is mean. That's because mathematicians are mean. They think mean. And part of their mean thinking is that they have to use words differently from the way everybody else does. It's how they go about it all. All right. So our 24-hour day is a mean day. It's something that varies very little. And the 24-hour day is determined from like when the sun is straight overhead on a north-south line until it's straight overhead again. That's a 24-hour, a mean 24-hour solar day. But for astronomical purposes, we want to be more accurate. We want to know not only for our time zone, but for the exact degree of Madison, Wisconsin. We want to know what the time was, irrespective of the time zone, but right down to our meridian of longitude. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to get the what is called true local time, or some astrologers call it, or some astronomers call it. Astronomers have their own perversities. Local mean time. All right. Now I'm going to pass these out, and these are just for samples, but you can have them if you like. You need two books in order to cast a horoscope. This is an ephemeris. You need an ephemeris for every year for which you're going to cast a horoscope. You can get a great big book, and you can get 100 years within one book. Now, mind you, most of you are not going to be casting horoscopes, at least not this way. Everybody's going to buy software, and they're going to have the horoscopes made for them, and they'll think they have them right, but they won't be able to tell. So this is the daily things that you need to know in order to cast a horoscope. I don't know if there's enough for these to go around, so you may have to share. This is called a Tables of Houses. It has longitudes and latitudes in, and it has the positions of the signs of the zodiac at given sidereal times, which we'll get to in just a little bit. A table of houses is good for your lifetime, unless this pole suddenly starts shifting. And if the pole suddenly starts shifting, you have much greater things to worry about. Yes, it has happened in the past. There have been magnetic shifts. That's all right. The Aries will spank you. All right. So the table of houses is something that is good for a lifetime. All right. Share one between you. I think there's enough here for every two people. You can fight with each other over who gets it when you're done. All right, so the first thing we're going to do is we are going to calculate the true local time. Well, first thing we're going to do is we're going to fill in the blanks. That is to say, we're going to fill in the name, the birth date, the hour, the birthplace, and the latitude and longitude. All right. Just in case any of you do not know, latitude, these are parallels of latitude. They're all parallel with each other and they never meet. These are meridians of longitude and they all meet at the north and south pole. And we now say that the beginning of the earth is Greenwich, England. That's agreed by the whole world now. It used to be at one time that Babylon was the center of the earth, and Egypt was the center of the earth, and people of India had their own center of the earth, but what do you expect from them? All right. Now, this is, this is out of the tables of houses. The first part of the tables of houses is for determining longitude and latitude. This, unfortunately, the Xerox, and when I Xeroxed it, I couldn't get the page number. But if you look in the front part of the tables of houses, you'll see that there's a table that goes through all the states, and then it goes through all of the major cities in the countries of the world. Now, right here where we have the two lines, they surround Madison, Wisconsin. And so the latitude of Madison, Wisconsin is 43 degrees north and 89 degrees west. Everybody follows all of this. All right. So when you fill them in, the back of the sheet should now look like this. Now, normally what I do is call the class male or female according to whether there are more men in the class than there are women. I always give the minority an extra head, but in this case I'm being gender neutral. And so your calculation sheet on the back should look like this. And you copy everything over to the front, and it should look like this. Geez, I'm not even picking up any panic vibes yet. This is remarkable. We've gotten through the first we haven't really gotten through the first calculation. Anytime there are questions, bring them up right away. Yes. Yes. Yeah. All right. All right. Now we're going to calculate the true local time. And that the true local time is the exact time at 89 degrees west when the central daylight time was 7:32 p.m. So we want to first change the daylight time to standard time, and then we want to go from the standard, we want to go to the local meridian. He's way ahead already. All right. And this is the calculation. We start out with 7:32, and then we have this arrow here that points at the daylight time, meaning you have to take an hour off. And we end up right here with 6:32. Then the calculation sheet says the degrees east or west of the standard meridian at birth. And so we take the 89, which is our place of birth, and the standard meridian, if you look at a time zone map, the standard meridian is 90. It's this is it right here, the one that goes right past St. Louis and Western Wisconsin. All right. The calculation says that if for every degree east of the standard meridian, you add 4 minutes. And for every degree west of the standard meridian, you subtract 4 minutes. Does anybody want to know where we get the 4 minutes from?
Yes.
All right. There are 24 hours in a day. And that turns out to be 1,440 minutes in a day. But there are 360 degrees in a circle. And if you divide 1,440 by 360, you find that each degree is 4 minutes of time. So every 4 minutes, a new degree comes to the midheaven. Therefore, if you're east, the sun is going to rise 4 minutes earlier. So you're 4 minutes ahead of time. And so 89 west is east of 90 west. Everybody gets that. And it's 1 degree east, and so it's 4 minutes. And you add that, and you end up with 6 hours and 36 minutes p.m. Fairly simple. Then you transfer everything to the front of the sheet, and it should look like this. The 636 here is not very neat because that's an afterthought because I didn't take the right sheet along for the making of the transparency. All right. Now we come to something that requires a lot of explaining. We have to describe sidereal time. Sidereal time is both a measurement of time and a measurement of space. Sidereal time is what the astronomers use for focusing their telescopes. Everything is done according to sidereal time. It comes from the Latin word for star is sider. Like when we have consideration, meaning put the stars together. So sidereal time is star time. Now, star time is different than sun time. We said that a Sunday is when the sun is straight overhead until it's straight overhead again. That's 24 hours of sun time. But a sidereal day is from 24 hours when a star is straight overhead until it's straight overhead again. But a sidereal day is shorter than a sun day. And the reason for that is, I don't know if we can get the board on camera. Here is the sun, and here is the earth, and the earth is spinning on its axis, and it's going around the sun. So when the sun, and let's take a star. Now this star is out at infinity. Now, when the sun is straight overhead, to the time it got straight overhead again, the Earth has gone forward 1 degree in space. It's a year is 365 days long, and so it's approximately 1 degree of space every day. Therefore, the Earth has to go around more than 360 degrees in order for the sun to come overhead straight again. It has to go through 361 degrees. Therefore, what we call a day of 24 hours of sun time is different than for the star time, because the star is at infinity. It doesn't make any difference. From the star's point of view, the Earth and the sun are just one spot. And so if you rotate any point in that one spot, it's still going to be 24. So the 24 hours of sidereal time are 4 minutes less than 24 hours of sun time. But we have to be able to get the sidereal time in order to get the positionings, because it's magic, because the book does everything. The calculations for all the customs of the houses are done by the book, and you don't have to do anything. You just have to go through all of these changings of time. All right, does everybody get the concept that we're dealing with? It's 24 hours and 4 minutes of sun time.
Oh, it's 4 minutes.
Yes. Because we do everything, we let sun time be the standard, and therefore a sidereal day is 24 hours and 4 minutes. Okay. All right. For the sun to get to the, all right. Now what we're going to do is this. I'll try to put it on the board. We're going to take a starting point. We're going to take a given noon. And that noon is going to be the base starting point. If you look at the ephemerises that you have, they all, even the sheets that you have, they are noon ephemerises. Some ephemerises are midnight, some are noon. This is a noon ephemeris, so we will be working with that. Then we're going to say from noon until the birth time in solar time, and then we're going to convert that, or the reading of sidereal time for that noon, and we're going to convert it, the solar time to sidereal time, and then we're going to find out what the name of this moment in time is in sidereal time and not in solar time. Does everybody get it? So I'll tell you what, I'll try to give you a picture of what sidereal time is like. Sidereal time is measured on the equator. It's the stars that are always right above the equator. It's called the celestial equator, the starry equator. That is, if like you took the whole heavens as a great big sphere, the equator of that sphere, according to the axial rotation of the Earth, would be where you measure sidereal time. Now, the Earth is inclined on its axis. If this is the sun, this disk is called ecliptic. And all of the planets, all right, I'll put it over here. All of the planets are in this disk called the ecliptic, except for Mercury and Pluto are a little bit strange. But the Earth is inclined toward that, so that the sun's path changes according to the season. You know, like in summertime, the sun looks very far north, and in wintertime, the sun looks south, and at equinoxes, it is the same. So what astronomers do is they take a common point. They take the vernal equinox at the exact moment, hour, minute, second, and they go down to a thousandth of a second, and they find exactly when the sun is on the equator, and whatever star is behind that is called 0 hours, 0 minutes, and 0 seconds of sidereal time. And then it just takes that whole circle and it breaks it up into 24 hours. Hours, minutes, and seconds. And so when you have a sidereal time, like 00 sidereal time is identical on both systems. It's on the system of the Earth and on the ecliptic. And so at 0 sidereal time happens to be 0 Aries in the tropical zodiac. All right. I'm not going to say any more, because if I say much more, I probably will confuse you if you're not already confused. All right. So what we do is we go to the ephemeris. And the ephemeris, the first column in the ephemeris is the day. It's in French and in English. And the second column is the sidereal time. Now, our beginning time was at 6:36 p.m. in the evening. Therefore, the noon that precedes it was the noon of the 21st. And that is 12:01:51. 12 hours, 1 minute, and 51 seconds. Does everyone see that? It's right here. That's what we write in the next line of the calculation. Yes. That's noon at Greenwich. Yes. All right. So this is what we write. We write the 12:01:51. Now, the next line says correction of 10 seconds for 15 degrees of longitude. All right, let's explain that correction. That correction is, this measurement is made for Greenwich, England. So when it's noon at Greenwich, England, it's 6 in the morning here. And by the time it gets to be noon here, we're going to have gone forward. And so we have to make a correction between Greenwich and Madison, and that correction is 10 seconds for each 15 degrees. So that amounts to being taking 89, and you can multiply it by 10 and divide by 15, but 10 fifteenths is 2/3. So you take 89 and you multiply it by 2 and you get 178, and then you divide it by 3 and you get 59 seconds. So there's a correction of 59 seconds between Greenwich and Madison, Wisconsin. Really simple, right? You can be as wry or as sarcastic or as sour as you want, because I'm putting you through a torture, and you... All right. Now what we have to do is we have to say, well, it didn't occur at noon. It had occurred at 6 hours and 36 minutes after noon. And so we bring that into the calculation. So that's where we're bringing it forward from noon to 6:36. So that's what we add into the calculation. But then we have to make a correction for the difference between sidereal time and solar time. And that correction is 10 seconds for every hour of time. All right, so first we take the 6 hours and multiply it by 10 seconds, and that gives us 60 seconds. But if there's 10 seconds per hour, that means there's 10 seconds per every 60 minutes, which means that there's 1 second for each 6 minutes of time for correction. So how often does 6 go into 36? 6. So we have 60 and 6, and that gives us 66 seconds. Does everybody see what we've done? So let's go through the whole calculation while we have it up here. This is the starting sidereal time at noon in Greenwich. And this is the correction between Greenwich and Madison. And this is how much we are off. We're 6 hours and 36 minutes after noon. And these are the corrections between solar time and sidereal time. It's 60 seconds for the 6 hours and 6 seconds for the 36 minutes, which is a total of 66. So then we add everything together. But when we add, we have to be very careful. Because here, when we're changing from seconds to minutes, we have to carry at seconds. And when we're carrying from minutes to hours, we again carry at 60. Now, you'll have to check my arithmetic to see that I did it right. I didn't use a calculator. I went back to grade school. All right, let's add up. 9 and 1 is 0, and 6 is 16, and that's it. That's 6. That gives us this part. But we carry the 1. 5 and 1 carried are 6, and 5 are 11, and 6 are, 17. So 17 minus 12 is what? 17 minus... In 17, there's 2 full minutes. Yes. And so for each of these, you know, you could, if you want to be sneaky about it, you can take the 1 that's carried and you can put it on this 5 and put it on this, and then this 5 and this 6 carry, and then you just carry this over and then you have a 56. All right, everybody sees what we've done. All right. Let's... let's tally it all up. We have 1251. And then we have a 59-second correction. Then we have 6 hours and 36 minutes. And from that, we get 66 seconds. All right? 16, carry to 1. 5, 10, 16, 17. That's 176 seconds. And that means that's 2 minutes and 56 seconds. The 2 we carry. And, all right, everybody sees it now. And then we add here, and we end up with 1839.56. Was I correct? I guess I was. I lucked out. I'm terrible at arithmetic. It's details to me. When I was in school, I was the only person in the final exam in geometry to write a perfect theory paper. But I got a C because I did things like 3 times 5 is 8. All right, this gives us our sidereal time. Our sidereal time is 1839.56. Exactly like the calculation sheet shows. Oh, we're just breezing along here, gang. Now, it says to find the nearest sidereal time. Now, if you look, that's sort of like this, I think. Now, if you look at the top of each page of the tables of houses, there are 3 latitudes. In our sample here, we have 43, 44, and 45. But when you look at the book of the tables of houses, there are a lot of pages that have 43, 44, and 45, because the tables begin with sidereal time 0, hours, 0 minutes, and 0 seconds, and they keep going up until 24 hours, 0 minutes, and 0 seconds, which is the same thing as 0 hours, 0 minutes, and 0 seconds. So what we're doing is we're finding the nearest one in the tables of houses, nearest sidereal time to our sidereal time, which is 1839.56. And that turns out to be right here. That turns out to be 1839.11. So we happen to hit very close in the table. Does everybody see what we've done? Great. It's the closest one. See, mathematicians are handy to have around once in a while. Okay. And then we just move all of those things to the front. So we should now have this, the time that the clock read, the true local time, the calculated sidereal time, and the lowest sidereal time, the closest sidereal time in the book. Now, if you notice this, you see this has the cusps all filled in. That's because I didn't want to have to pay too much for Xeroxing. All right. How do we get those numbers? Now, if you look at everything here between everything that is in latitude 43, it begins with 10, 11, 12, ASC, 2, and 3. Does everybody see that? All right. Now, when you look at the chart, you see the numbers from 1 to 10, 1 to 12, and the center here. Those are the houses. And things increase going this way. They increase counterclockwise. So the cusp comes before the house, and so what I'm looking right at right now is the 10th house cusp. And that's the true south point. So when we look at our sidereal time, and we look at the column that has 10 at the top, we see the number 9. That's the number of degrees, and then the first number we run into up is at the very top, and that's Capricorn. So on the 10th house cusp, we have 9 degrees of Capricorn, and it looks just like this. See, it's all magic. It's all done by tables. You don't have to do anything. All right. And the next one for the 11th house, if you look down below in our time, there is 1 degree. And the first symbol that you run into when you're going up is Aquarius. This means that for the 11th house cusp, you have 1 degree of Aquarius. And so it looks like this. Does everybody follow what we're doing? You want to start all over? Just the last part. All right. This is our sidereal time right here. It's in the table of houses, but you have the copy of the same thing in your packet. Oh, I should have been telling you step by step which sheet you should be looking at in your packet.
This sheet is an excerpt from the table of houses.
Yes, exactly. Maybe you ought to be teaching the class because you. You're very good with the details. All right, you see, at our sidereal time, our closest sidereal time is 1839-11. And the number that we find here is for the 11th house is 1. And when we go up toward the top of the table, the first symbol that we run into is Aquarius. And that means for the 11th house cusp, we have 1 degree of Aquarius. Everybody, I see what we've done? We now have 1 degree of Aquarius right here on the cusp. Then we go back to the tables of houses, or the one sheet out of the tables of houses. And at our sidereal time, for the 12th house, it has the symbol Pisces right there. And that means it's 0 of Pisces. It's right at the very beginning of Pisces. And there, when we look, we put on the 12th house cusp, we put 0 of Pisces. I'd say Pisces, which is the proper pronunciation, but most people cringe. All right, then we go back to the tables. And the ascendant is another name for the first house cusp. And there we find 17 degrees and 42 minutes right there. And when we go up to the top, we find Aries. So that means that 17 degrees and 42 minutes of Aries are on the 12th house cusp. That's what it looks like. 1742. Yeah, my handwriting isn't always legible. All right. It's all pretty, everybody's getting this, right? It's pretty simple. It's just anybody who can do a recipe can cast a horoscope. It's much more difficult than a recipe is much more difficult than casting a horoscope. All right, then the next is the second house. And for the second house, I'm working backwards here, all right. For the second house, we have 25 degrees of, when we go up to the top, Taurus, on the cusp of the second house, where the number 2 is. And so we put 25 degrees of Taurus on the second house cusp, which is right here. Yes?
What is
42 minutes? Because you try as much as possible to get the ascendant as accurately as you can. Because if you get a computer-made horoscope, all of them are to degrees and minutes. But the ascendant is especially sensitive if you start doing more advanced work. All right. Good question. I like it. All right. And the last one that we have is 19 degrees. And when you go up to the top, it's 19 degrees of Gemini at the third house cusp. And then it looks like this. There we have 19 degrees of Gemini at the third house cusp. Now, but the rest of the wheel is filled in. You want to repeat that? Yes. I'm going to get to this. Now, these are called great circles. So that if you look in the table of signs, Aries is opposite of Libra, Taurus is opposite of Scorpio, Gemini is opposite of Sagittarius, Cancer is opposite of Capricorn, Leo is opposite of everything. That's Scorpio, I'm sorry. I got to get a Leo's a little buzz tonight. And Leo is opposite of Aquarius, and Virgo is opposite of Pisces. This means that in a great circle, if you go all the way around the heavens, you have the same degree of the opposite sign on the cusp. And so if you look here, oops, you were reading out of the ethers for that one. Everything's upside down and backwards in the ethers. All right. So for the fourth house cusp is 9 degrees of the opposite sign from Capricorn. So it's 9 degrees of Cancer. Fifth house is 1 degree of Leo, opposite 1 degree of Aquarius. Sixth house, 0 degrees of Virgo, opposite 0 degrees of Pisces. And for the descendant, it's 1742 of Libra, opposite 1742 of Aries. And then we have 25 of Scorpio being opposite 25 of Taurus, and 19 of Sagittarius being opposite of 19 of Gemini. So does everybody follow what we've done? You're doing stupendously. You've done the hardest part of calculating a horoscope. Done the very hardest part, and if you just, you know, and you've done it in the worst kind of environment that you can do it. You're doing it with a bunch of other people, And there's all the vibes are always jumbled because different people think different ways and people learn at different rates, and some people are more visual, some people are not visual. And so you might be picking up somebody else's panic, or you might be calming somebody else down. We'll see it at everybody's calming everybody else down. And you're getting at least moderate explanations at the same time that you're going through the process. So it's very hard conditions, and you're doing extremely well. If you have ended up with a picture that looks like this, and you know how you got there from following the directions, you're doing extremely well. Yes.
The part where it's 10 seconds per hour interval.
Yes. That is the correction between the longer hours of sun of solar time and the shorter hours of sidereal time.
So we're working with 56.
Well, no, it's 10 seconds per every hour. No, there's 6 hours and 36 minutes. So if there's 10 seconds for each hour, so that means, and if there's 10 seconds per hour, that means there's 1 second for every 6 minutes. And six goes into 36 six times, so that gives you an additional 6 seconds that you add on to the 60 for the 6 hours, and then you have a correction of 66 seconds. Yeah. Yes. If it is 4 minutes in 24 hours, then it is 4 times 6 is 240 minutes. And if you divide that by 1,440, that's where you get the 10 seconds per. All right. Yes. You always take the first number up, like you were reading down the table. You know, like for example, take for the 12th house cusp. Start at the top of the table, where the number 12 is. Put your finger on that, and you just go straight down the column. And when you come to Pisces, that is when things change to Pisces, from in those sidereal times coming down to the zero Pisces. And so it's much easier to see why you take the first symbol up if you start from the bottom and work down. Start from the top and work down. This is our sidereal time. And for the 10th house, you start with the 10th. And the first at this time, it is zero of Capricorn. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, and it goes right down. And this is 9 Capricorn by the time you get to our time. For the 11th house, it starts in Capricorn in the times that are earlier, but when it gets down to our time, it has already gotten to 1 of Aquarius. Okay. And the same thing for the 12th house. It starts at the top of that page of the table with Aquarius, and it comes exactly at the change at our time.
Okay.
All right. We're doing exceedingly well. We're only going to do 2 more calculations, and then we're going to call it a day. And because we have gone faster than I have ever gone before. If I'd have known this, I'd have tried to have done it all in one night. Huh? No, we haven't even put in an hour's worth of work yet. That means that our next meeting is going to be very short. In fact, if you want to, we can break right here. It makes it more of an even break, and you can take the sheets home and take the books home if you like, if you've got a book, and see what you've done. Why don't we do that? Why don't we break right here, right now, and then next week we will continue from this point on and finish the horoscope. Yes.
Okay, I know that you've probably explained this so many times to so many people, whatever. Level, but
no,
is this where
this describes all of the
all of the calculations that we have done.
Yes. Yes. Except that we have one more to go, and we'll do that next time. We'll finish up the horoscope next time. Let's not try to do too much. Let's not try to rush. See, you can tell, or you can go back to the astronomy department now, and you can tell them, yeah, I know how to calculate sidereal time. Right? Yeah. All right, are there any questions on any of this? Yes. I have more tables of houses that if anybody who wants a tables of houses, you can just have it. This is Microcosm Bookshop is sometimes called the free store. Everything is free, including the owner. He's not only free, he's easy. All right. That's it. No more questions. Yeah. Thank you very much. You've done exceedingly well. This is a complicated business, and not a lot of people like to do numbers. And this would be difficult even if you had a calculator in hand, because you're having to change between minutes and seconds and signs and things like that. Now let's do one thing yet. We're not going to do any more calculations, but let's look at this. If we look right here, from 9 Capricorn to 1 Aquarius, that isn't 30 degrees. That means that this house is small. It means that it is something like 28 degrees as all there are to it. No, not even 28. This house is only 22 degrees in size. How does that happen? Well, they all average out to being 30 degrees. But some are larger and some are smaller. And this is what is called obliquity. Now, if you look at a circle like this, it looks like a circle. But as I tilt my hands, it becomes more and more of an ellipse until at this point it's just a line. All you can see is a line and the circle has disappeared. Now, our circle that we have drawn on the ground is at an angle to the ecliptic. And therefore, when this circle is divided into 30-degree parts, the circle that's in the heavens gets cut into larger or smaller sectors. And that's what has happened. Sometimes it actually happens. We almost had an interception. If this had been, it's possible that we could have had Pisces here and Aries here, and then Pisces would be intercepted and it wouldn't even have a cusp. That does happen sometimes. And then you have to take and put Pisces in the opposite house, and then you would, you know. So it turns out that those kinds of things happen. Especially the further north you go, because the further north you go, you know, like in the summertime, it's perpetual illumination and inside of the Arctic Circle. The astrology inside the Arctic and Antarctic Circle is very difficult to calculate. But if you do horoscopes like for places like Norway and Sweden and even northern Germany, you're going to run into a lot of interceptions. And the mathematics is real easy. You just keep working with the numbers as before. But the interpretation is a little difficult, but all you do is with that is you say things are out of balance. Like the people, yeah. Well, the people of Iceland used to be the best educated people in the world. They all were multilingual because they had to do something during those long winters. And so they went to school and they had a lot of school. The mathematical conditions, the obliquity of an angle, does have factors in the consciousness. You know, the plants change. There are certain plants that can only live at certain latitudes, and they are, you know, they're affected. The most zany that I've ever heard of, I read an astronomy book, an early astronomy book, where they took And they took sunflowers and planted sunflowers in the Arctic Circle. And when they came up, the sunflowers followed the sun, and they would follow the sun all the way around the horizon until they would twist and break their necks. Yeah. And so there are physical differences in the life, even in the way things grow. You know, people who live in the tropics have no idea. You go to, I went to South America last year, and people in the tropics have no idea what ice really is. They have ice in their glasses, but they, you know, the idea that, you know, like on Lake Mendota, you can put a train across Lake Mendota, and they have no concept of that at all. They've got life too easy. All right, that's all I wanted to say. Next time we'll calculate the positions of the planets and put the planets in and start filling out a table of positions, and you'll find it's compared to what you've done, it's easy sledding from here on in. Yes. Oh, you count from here up to here. Each sign is 30 degrees long. So 9 degrees of Capricorn to 9 degrees of Aquarius would be over here. But the cusp comes before 30 degrees, so 30 degrees minus 8 is 22. Yeah. You have to come, in order to get to the cusp, you have to come back 8 degrees. All right, that's it. Let's call it a night. Dale, would you hit the stop on the tape recorder?